Moncrief on News Talk.
160 years ago, Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, and back in those days, it took a while for such news to reach Europe, 12 days in fact, and it was the Cork Examiner that got the story first. That's one of the tales featured in Joe Kerrigan's new book, Stories from the Sea. Afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon to you. Nice to hear your voice again, Sean.
When the news... The assassination took place in Washington, and then
it did, and so
it would have been communicated by telegram to New York that this had happened.
So
take it from there. So we have this fella James McLean. He works for Reuters in New York.
He does, and he's there in his office waiting for anything interesting to happen, and suddenly this pings in along the telegraph wires. And I should imagine he swears, leaps to his feet and thinks, holy cow, scribbles a dispatch frantically and belts down to the quayside in New York. Whether he takes a cab or whether he just runs on foot, I don't know. Knowing Reuters, he probably sprints it to make the least delay. And when he gets there, the boat has just left the Teutonia, which is sailing on to London. And he thinks, dear God, I can't. So he charters the nearest tugboat, threatens the man, probably offers him all the money in the world if he can just get out and follow that boat. And they chase the liner all the way out of New York until he gets alongside and he flings his canister on board with a message on it. I think, crikey, that's a whole image in itself, isn't it? The idea of him getting out there.
Just shows you the kind of expenses they had in newspapers in them days as well.
I think he was more afraid that he was going to lose his job if he didn't get the biggest story in the world out there, and Reuters wanted to be first with the news.
Yes,
so the ship sails on, and nobody knew, of course. They just said, okay, we'll take it, you were lucky. And they sailed on across the Atlantic. And then they came in sight of the coast of Ireland, which you do before you get to London. And the Irish faith, there were people waiting on the cliffs for the sight of the next liner coming in. Oh, here's one coming. Send a signal down there. Send a semaphore or a flash down to the village in Crookhaven. And on the galley cove, people would have a boat ready and they'd push out the boat. And as the liner came past, by arrangement with Reuters, they would drop overboard any little canisters with mail and news and anything else, newspapers that they had. And they dropped them and continued on their slow and ponderous way to London. And then the little boat was pushed out and they'd row out and they'd get their hooked poles and they'd pull in the canisters into the boat. And they'd sail back as fast as they could to Crookhaven, where there was a telegraph wire to Cork, which Reuters had set up some time before. And on the way, they unscrewed the top of this particular cylinder, pulled out the stuff, read the story and thought again, holy God! Got it there as fast as possible, rushed into the office. I'm imagining these bits, babbling out, you won't believe this. The telegraph operator in Crookhaven said, right, I'm on it, and telegraphed the news to Cork, where it was received, of course, by the Cork Examiner and the Crosbys, who thought again, holy cow. And it got first into the Examiner, and then they sent it on to London. I'm assuming that everyone along the way got paid for this. I imagine the Examiner extracted a fair old fee from London for getting it to their papers, but Cork got it first.
And would this have been as in the United Kingdom as was, would this have put Reuters' nose out of joint that this paper in Cork was scooping them all the time?
No, Reuters would charge for it as well.
Right. Okay.
So Reuters was serving the news on to other. That's how Reuters got going. He was first working in publishing, then he was working for a press agency in France, and then he started set up his own press agency because telegraphing was starting to get popular there. And once England was connected to Europe, he decided he would get into this. And if he could get there first and get the news, he was more interested at that stage in the money market. And if he could get the business to his clients saying, these are falling, these are going, that's going to go up suddenly, they would pay him very generously for that. So he was interested in news is money. And if you can get the biggest news story or the news one that's going to make someone make a fortune, you'd better get it there first.
Yeah.
You hear it these days with insider trading and people who know something that's going to happen before it happens. And they make money for somebody and someone else loses his whole fortune. So Reuters would get his and he'd set up. He made money by this. He had to set up a whole telegraph wire all the way to Cork because Cork was connected to London because we were under the United Kingdom then. And for some reason, they thought we were quite likely to behave badly now and again. I can't imagine why they didn't think this about us. But they had the telegraph to London quite early on in Cork so they could say, oh, boys over here are at it again. Send over some more troops.
Right. extraordinary. That. And this was, of course, this was before the transatlantic cable arrived. When did
yes,
that was
is.
Just the following year, was it?
That was, well, officially it was. It was in 1866 they got the first bit of, I mean, you must know the story of the transatlantic cable. They kept on trying to do it, and it kept on breaking in the middle of the ocean at incredible depths. And they must have thought each time, let's just give up this and go home and have a cup of tea. But they would go back again. They had to remake the cable every time, and that in itself was a huge job. And then they had to get ships that were big enough to carry enormous rolls of cable. And would they go out from both sides and meet in the middle, or would they try and drag it all the way across? Oh, and it kept going wrong then. When they finally got it going, the transatlantic cable, they managed to send, I think, one message from Queen Victoria across to Newfoundland, and then it broke again and again. It took quite you know.
Oh, gosh.
And, of course, and Marconi was waiting in the wings as well to make it wireless, but that was another story. But it all happened down there on Brohead and Crookhaven.
Indeed it did. And then, as I understand, they made a movie about this whole adventure,
oh,
getting the news about
Lincoln. I must get hold of that movie. I'm sure you can get hold of some of these old ones. The Reuters correspondent, or Edward G. Robinson was in it. Yes, Edward G. Robinson was in the movie, our correspondent from Reuters. He chronicled the whole wonderful, wonderful story about McLean dashing down to the docks and getting this on board the boat. Wouldn't you love to have been there to see it happen?
Oh,
of course,
what?
You wouldn't have.
No.
I mean, you know the news now before it happens. It's hard for us to look back and think that it had to wait till it got there.
Half the time you don't know what news is, or it's just something somebody's made up, you know, yourself. Joe, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Joe Kerrigan. Her new book is called Stories from the Sea.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.